knowledge, by instruction or reading, by study, by experience or observation, acquiring skill by practice, gaining knowledge and acquiring skill. We need that. We need to gain knowledge. None of us know all that we need to know right now. And some of us don't use what we do know. That's the other crime of it all. Amen. Romans 15, if you will, stand with me for the reading of the Word in respect and honor to the Word of God. I promise I won't read till midnight. God's Bible says these words to you and I. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written for our aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I want to add three verses, if I may. Now the God of patience and consolation, the God of comfort and patience, the God that brought that onto you and I. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another. And it's not according to your college degree. It's not according to your high school education. It's according to Christ Jesus. So you and I ought to be equal when it comes to Christ Jesus. Stay with me now. Hang tight. Why should I do that? That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything. That you might glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at a man tonight, if I may, as an example of what I'm trying to tell you. But while I'm doing that, I want you to remember that fifth verse. What we need to learn tonight that will keep us in unity. We are in a divided nation. I got a whole message on that. Maybe I'll bring it out this week. We're in a divided nation. You folks are in a divided state. New York City does everything in Albany, and the rest of you are trying to do something else. Same way in Virginia. All them guys live in East Virginia. And the whole 95% of the rest of the states against them. But they rule it. A divided state. Some folks got divided hearts. Some folks got divided minds. But it ought not be said so in God's people. What ought to be said in God's people is that the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another. Amen. You're not going to agree with everything everybody does, but you should be like-minded one toward another. Let me give it to you in plain, simple terms. Preacher hit it this morning. Let me give it to you. Can I do it? Out of the mouth of two witnesses? Look at me. I love you. Now, it don't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you're doing now. I told a little pole dancer girl one time, I said, there's nothing you can do to make me not love you. She looked at me like I was nuts. In Christ Jesus, we're all the same if we're doing right. Father, you know we need tonight, Lord, we need the presence of God in a strong manner. Now, you're here. Lord, these dear people are singing like a thousand. Boy, what a great thing that is. But, Lord, what we need now is for the Holy One to take over this book, to take over this vessel, to open these hearts and minds, and that, Lord God, you would show us tonight what you're trying to tell us about this learning. We need to learn something, Lord. Now, Father, I was just sitting there meditating while Brother Rich was singing, him and his good wife. Father, in this great church, it's like preaching ABCs to a high school child. This church has some good preaching. This church has some straight good preaching. This church, Father, has knowledge about it. Lord, in heaven, there is never a moment that we can't learn something. And I'm praying, God, that you teach even us that are in high school or upper grade school, our Father, we might need to go back over our ABCs. Help us, Lord. Save the lost. Touch the saved. Bless my preaching, Virginia, God, my preaching brethren, everywhere that's preaching. May souls be saved and saints be helped in every church. I beg you for it. And Lord, just in case you decided to come get us tonight, let us come home gaining rewards and not losing. Please, God. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen, Lord. Amen. You may be seated, family. I was looking at this again this afternoon and looking over my questions that I gave you this morning. You know, what happened and why and what did God do in it and how they responded to it and what was the result of their response. And then what did I learn from it? And God showed me, not this afternoon, but the other day when I was putting this together, what some of them questions are. And I want you, if you will, please, to go with me to the book of Genesis. I want to go back in the book of Genesis this night and start in about chapter 12 and deal with a guy who for 13 chapters, and then he's in a couple other chapters in the New Testament. But in 13 chapters, this man lived his life. 13 chapters. You say, preacher, how long was that? Well, in the 25th chapter, it was 175 years. That's how long this man lived. Genesis chapter 12, if you will, please. And I want you to see, first of all, tonight, that what you and I got to learn is what God and Abram did. He's not Abraham yet. He's Abram, okay? God hasn't changed him yet. It's coming, just like you and I. You and I used to be, and now we are. Think about that a minute. Do you not remember what you used to be? If you remember what you used to be, you have way more compassion on the population. If you forget who you used to be, you'll get arrogant. And arrogance is nothing but pride exposed. That's all arrogance is. And there's just way too much pride in all of us. Pride, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. There's way too much in all of us. Abram here, the Bible says in verse 1, if you will, please, I want you to see, first of all, God and Abram when it comes to a promise. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them which curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Look at verse 7. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him first. First. These things are written for our learning. Now, what am I trying to learn? What am I going to learn by what God and Abram dealt with as they dealt together? God Almighty is speaking to this man. He's in the Ur of the Chaldees, and Ur of the Chaldees is an idol-worshipping, wicked, vile, ungodly, defiled place. And yet God finds a man there that he can use. Isn't that an amazing thought? Just like he came to New York and found you. Or wherever it is you come from. All right? You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, God and Abram here are going to work together. Abram has no clue exactly what God's even talking about at the first. But I want you to realize something. The promises of God are yea and amen in him to the glory of God the Father. That's what Corinthians declares. They're yea and amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying what God says to you, you can put it in the bank. It's going to come to pass. Now, it may not come to pass right away, but it's going to come to pass. Titus tells us in chapter 1 that he don't lie. He cannot lie, all right? And what you and I got to get in our minds is, what is God trying to tell me? What is God trying to show me? He said, preacher, I've been trying to listen to God. Well, ain't you been reading your Bible? Somebody asked me one time, and I believe I've told you dear people this. I like to hear God's voice in an audible way. Well, read the Bible out loud, and you'll hear it. Just read the Bible out loud, and you'll hear the audible voice of God Almighty. Now, what you're wanting is him to step out on a lightning bolt or something and say something to you or come to you. Listen, if he came to you in a dream like he did a lot of these Old Testament boys, you'd be scared to death. 1 John 4 tells us we need to discern the spirits to see whether they're of God. The imitator is real close to God. His voice is real similar to God. Are you listening to me? You and I have all been tricked by that similar voice. Come on now. There's only one way to discern whether God's talking to me or not, and that's in that book. Comfort of that book. The patience of that book. The Word of God, if you will, please. The God of patience and the consolation. He comes to Abram and promises him, look at me please, he promises him a land. He promises to make him a great nation. Abram is not able to do that as of that minute. But that's not got anything to do with the promise of God. What God says is going to do, and what God wants to do, he's going to do. God wanted a nation for his own, and he went to the Ur of the Chaldees to get the guy to start it. Now, if you read that Bible close, you'll find out there's a whole lot of guys that God uses, and I don't know who he's going to use now tonight as Israel and the Gaza Strip's all crazy over there. Somebody said to you over there, 2,000 missiles went to Tel Aviv or someplace over there. I'm just trying to get you to understand something, gang. God ain't forsaken his people. His national people are his national people. His people. Are you listening to me? The land that they're on over there, there's a whole lot of trespassers on the land of God. The land of God goes from the Euphrates River clean to the river of Egypt. That's a big area. It's not just some little strip against the Mediterranean Sea. There's a big area that it belongs to God Almighty. It belongs to Abram. And what you got to understand is this. God is promising to him in chapter 12. I'll make of thee a great nation. Now that's a physical nation and that's a people nation. And God did do that, did he not? Every place you look, there's one of Abram's kids around. Every place you look, they're every place. And I want you to realize something right now, what God says he's going to do, and what that verse 3 tells us here is this, that the nations all around them best watch out. And we have watched God do that time and time and time again, and that crowd that's constantly after. Listen, Ishmael's kids are still after Isaac. Come on, am I right or wrong? They're still after Isaac. They're still trying to get rid of Isaac. They've sworn to get rid of Isaac. But they ain't never going to do it because it ain't Isaac. It's God. God has promised them that place. God has promised them that land. Now, what does God promise you? If I could stand you up and say, all right, give me one promise God's given you. You best come out of the book for the comfort and scriptures of the scriptures. You best come out of that book. What has God promised you? What has God given unto you? What have you been holding in your heart for all these many years since you've been saved by the grace of God? What have you been leaning on when things get tough? And you say, well, that might very well be, and I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know this. And you bring that promise back out and build yourself back up and encourage yourself back up in the Lord because of a promise God's given you. The same God that promised Abram is the same God that promised me and you. Now, when me and Mama got on board in 1977, we didn't know all this stuff, all right? What's a drunk truck driver know? Huh? Nothing, right? Nothing about God. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, when I first started into this book, one of the main promises that I found in that book, and I ran straight to the guy that led us to God when I seen it, was the part that says that God's going to bruise Satan's head after a while. I said, man, what's that mean? He said, well, you're going to get to stomp his head. I said, that sounds, because I was a stomper before that, amen. And so I thought, well, this will be good. I'll get to stomp the devil's head. Praise God, I can't wait for that day. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying I've been holding promises from that book for 40-some years now. I take that book literally. I take that book figuratively. I take that book every way God Almighty gives it to me every morning I get it. Some of this stuff, my dear family, this book is just for them Jews. Some of this stuff's for me. I can put all of it in my boots and walk in it. I can use every bit of it. I can take it and walk in it and go right on through my day. I can take things that he gave this guy here and I can put it in my shoes and it helps me there. Paul told that church over there, he said, abstain from all appearance of evil. I can take that verse. He said to them and put it in my life and keep away from evil if I want to. Listen to me, if I want to. It's a promise, my dear family, that my God's given me. One of these days, you and I are going to see the promiser. Any minute now, we're going to get to see the promiser. And he's going to look at us, and he's going to tell us about the Bible. He's going to tell us about the different things. I don't know all that he's going to talk to us about when we finally meet him. I'm talking about after the judgment. And when we all get around there, and we're sitting around there like the disciples used to do, sit around at his feet and listen to what he's saying. I don't know what he's all going to say to us, but what I know is this. It'll be out of that book. See, this judgment book of God Almighty, this is our judgment book. You're going to face your Bible at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to face your Bible at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what God said in Matthew. This book's going to judge you and I. Why? This is the book God gave us. He doesn't expect us to learn out of some other book and to get judged by some other book. He gives us this book to get judged by and to learn by. Do we know the promises of God? Do we understand the promises of God? Do we understand what God's trying to tell Abram here? Secondly, my dear family, not only God and Abram about a promise, but I want you to look at verse 4 to 13, what God and Abram did about obedience and fear. Look at chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Now there's the obedience. Now here's the part that's going to get a little sticky. We can all praise God and shout her out when it comes to promises of God because all of us carry at least one. But now we're talking something totally different. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. You say, preacher, why did he leave so late? He just got told to leave just now. What did he do? He waited another 10 years. He got up and left. Why? Because God said, I promise you this. And he departed, he left, and the Lord spoke unto him, and Lot with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. I said, preacher, what are you doing? I'm trying to get you to understand that the comfort of the Scriptures, you must have Scriptures. You must read the Scriptures. You must get the Bible. You must soak in the Bible. You must drip Bible. Or listen to me, you must fill your mind with Bible. This world fills you with this, that, and everything else. You've got to combat that with the Word of God. You cannot read enough Bible. You cannot have enough Bible preached to you. You cannot have enough Bible read to you. You cannot live enough Bible. I'm reading you the Bible. Abram passed through the land in the place of Sichem and under the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, here's our verse again, unto thy seed I'll give this land. And he built an altar to worship God. He built an altar because God had promised him. Let me ask you, where's your altar? I don't want you to come to the altar. I want you to live at it. Get that. The altar that God has in your life and my life is not an altar. It's a way of living. You can't outdo God. You can't get enough of God. You can't get enough prayer. You can't get enough of anything that God has. And so you live at the altar. And when you live there and pray and seek God's face, the Bible says he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Hai on the east. There he built an altar unto the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Abram was an altar-building dude, man. He was always building something. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Now, stay with me. And the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter in Egypt, he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Now when they had their first baby, he was 99 and she was what? He's 75 years old when God's talking to him here. How old Sarah? And she's still fair to look on. Well, preacher, they did it different in them days. Well, if you think that, that's fine. But I'm just telling you point blank, gang, God Almighty knows what he's doing. And here we got a man now that has been promised something, and now God's checking his obedience. And when he checks his obedience, he finds out that Abram is just as human as you and I are. Watch your Bible. Watch your Bible, love. Watch your Bible. Therefore it came to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife. They will kill me, but they will save thee alive. He is scared to death. Just like you and I when God Almighty says, pick up and go. Pick up and do. Stop and talk to this one. Get on the phone and call this one. We get scared to death sometimes. A lot of times, my dear family, fear grips us to the point. Listen. They learned that in the political world a year or so ago. That all they got to do is put a little fear in you and you're going to be falling over and giving everything you got. You go outside, you're going to die. You better stay inside or you will die. Now, you know you got to go to Walmart and get your groceries, but don't you dare go to church, because you go to church, you'll die. And they put the fear on us, did they not? Come on now. And you said, preacher, was that bad? Well, it's as natural as the nose on your face. But perfect love casteth out fear, God says in 1 John. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, our learning is, what's God doing when I'm in fear? What is God after? What's God trying to show me when I'm in this fear? And don't get me wrong, that COVID junk's a real something, all right? But I'm just telling you point blank. Sometimes when you and I get in some kind of a fear, God has to act in a different way than He did if you and I were bold. Sometimes our boldness wears off. Come on now. Sometimes boldness ain't nothing but arrogance outside. We had a guy in high school. He was a mouthy little rat, about that tall, mouthy little rat, as long as he's with his buddies. But we caught that joker one time without any of his friends with him. That was the end of his boldness, I promise you that. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes, my dear family, when we're obeying God and we're going right along, and Abram's obeying God, God Almighty told him, get out of there of the Chaldees and get going. I'll show you after a while where you're going to go. I'm paraphrasing. I'll show you after a while where you're going to go. And he got up and left. He's obedient. But when he got closer to where he was going, a fear put a grip on him about Sarai and his own life. He said, listen, you're a pretty thing. You pretty thing, you. They're going to look at you and kill me. Tell him you're my sister. Ain't that the truth? Tell him you're my sister. What's he doing? He's trying to get out of getting killed. And she was his sister. Kinda. Sorta. If you take a real good look at that Bible, you find out a lot of them married their first cousins in them days. Married their uncles. You know, I mean, it was a wild mix in them days. I promise you that. She really was his half-sister. But my dear family, he's not saying that because of this, but he's talking because he's afraid. There are times you and I are afraid. You want to make me afraid? I could give you a reason to make me afraid. You ready for it? So Brother Harbin, come sing a song, and I'll choke to death. Mama's the singer in our family, not me. Now, others, you said, come sing a song. Boy, they jump up. They beat each other to death getting up here to play and sing that. And they do a great job, do they not? But how about some of the rest of you? If I call your name, say, all right, Brother Jim, get up here and sing. Some of us ain't in that deal. Preacher gets up here sometimes and says, listen, I need five of you men to give $10,000. You get the spasms. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you, fear is a real thing. And there are times when we don't understand what fear is doing to us. There are times we don't understand how God's working in our lives. And you and I are in such a state anymore. We're living in a land of such, Lord, how do I say this right? We're living in a land of such detail and such knowledge that we've got this crazy idea that we've got to know every step of the plan before we make a move. You said to do what? Go where? Well, good, I'll do that. What am I going to drive? Where am I going to live when I get there? How much is it going to pay? Will I stay well while I'm going? Will they accept me while I'm there? Can my wife go? And until God answers all them questions, we won't move. Because we're afraid to death of doing what God's told us to do. We can't be that way, my dear family. God cannot lie. Come on. His promises are yea and amen to Him and the glory of God the Father. And when you and I hear from God, and here's the kicker, okay? Here's the kicker. Preacher, I thought I heard God's voice. There have been a lot of folks in church that say, you know, the Spirit led me. Yeah, we're just trying to figure out which Spirit, because it wasn't into holiness. It wasn't to another church. It won't preach the truth. It wasn't to another church. It won't make you dress right. It wasn't to another church. It preaches a false Bible. The Holy Ghost never leads out of truth to error. Don't give me that Spirit-led me mess, all right? I won't listen to that kind of junk. He said, preacher, why not? Because 99% of the time it ain't true. You say, preacher, how can you tell when God's really telling somebody what to do? They get up and do it. They get up and do it. They don't have to broadcast it to make sure everybody in the country understands they're serving God. This is a gang, we serve God on a daily basis, whether anybody else knows about it or not. You don't have to have your name in lights. You don't have to have your, you know, front page of the paper, you know, Don Hardman's there at the church. We don't need all of that. What we need to do is just go do what God says to do. You say, why, preacher? Because I don't want to gather it all up down here and then leave it when I die. I want it over yonder on the other side. I want something over there waiting on me when I bow down before my God, lay it all down at His feet and thank Him for even letting me serve Him. He didn't have to. He didn't have to let me serve Him. He didn't have to call me to preach. He didn't have to put me to evangelism. He didn't have to do none of that. He could have and should have put me in hell is what He should have done. But He blessed me and allowed me to be saved. We don't have to have the world know what we're doing. Just get up and go do it. Take a Bible verse. When we got called to preach, I went to the pastor and I said, preacher, I believe I'm called to preach. He said, boy, that's wonderful, Don. I've been saved about 9 months at that time. He said, give me a verse. I said, 2 Timothy 4:5, God told me to be an evangelist. He said, just smiled. He said, well, I guess you are. I didn't hesitate, didn't blink my eyes, James. I just popped him with that verse. He said, is that what God called you to do? I said, yes, sir. He said, then that's who you are. That's what you are. That's what you will do the rest of your life. That's the end of it. Don't worry about nothing else. Just go do it, whatever it is. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, God don't lie. And what God wrote down in this Bible, He wrote down for our learning. He wrote it down so we'd have some comfort and some patience. So often, my dear family, you and I run out of patience. Go with me, if you will, please, to Romans chapter 4. Let me look at something else about Abram and this obedience of his that he had. What a wonderful example of obedience Abram is. Look at verse 20 of Romans chapter 4, please. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not. You and I walk like drunkards when it comes to the promises of God sometimes. Stumbling around, banging into walls. We look like a bunch of blind men walking through the woods, banging into trees, falling over roots. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Did he understand it all at first? No, you know he didn't. You know he didn't understand it all at first. How can this be? I've got no children. How about my servant right here? How about him? No, no. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, Billy fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, he didn't understand that. He thought when Sarah said, go in there to Hagar, that that's how it was going to be. Abram's seed into Hagar. He still didn't understand it all. He therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. What are you saying, brother? I'm just trying to get you to understand something. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him and raise up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offense and was raised again for our justification. What am I saying, brother? I'm saying Abraham learned from God. Abram learned from God Almighty. The promises of God are true, and the obedience of God, even though you're in fear, obey God anyway. He will work it out. And when you are so afraid, you can't figure out what you're supposed to do or why you're supposed to do it, just go ahead and do what God said do. Well, how do I know that? Get in the book. Just get in the Bible. Comfort and patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Get in that Bible. You said, preacher, I can't find in that Bible what I'm supposed to do. Read some more. I can't figure out from that Bible where I'm supposed to go. Read some more. I can't figure out how I'm supposed to get there. Read your Bible. It'll tell you in there. By and by, God Almighty will say in that book exactly what you're supposed to do. Somewhere in that book. Why? Because somebody prior to us did it before us as our example for our learning. This is what you do when you don't know what to do. You ever hear that message? This is where you obey when you don't know how to obey. This is how you travel when you don't know how to travel. This is how you go when you ain't got a dime to go. You just go. And you trust God and you make it there. Early years of evangelism. Right, Brother Rich? Early years of evangelism. No meetings, no money, junk cars and trucks. Listen, I tied a fifth wheel to a bed of a rusted out Ford pickup. tied it to the bed, not the frame. I didn't drill the frame. I didn't bolt the frame. I just hooked that fifth wheel to the bed of that rusted out truck. Every time I looked in the mirror, I seen the trailer doing this. I knew what was going on. I got someplace in a meeting, my whole bed's buckled up. Half of it's broke slam off. The guy said, "Don, ain't you got that thing bolted to the frame?" I said, "You got to bolt them to the frame?" He said, "Yes, stupid, you'll lose it if you don't." I said, "That's why it wiggles the way it does." I had a meeting to go to. I didn't have time to worry about whether that thing's going to hang on or not. I had a tailgate up. I thought, well, you know, it'll catch that. Come on now. Run out of gas 100 miles from home and drive it all the way in? God. Bust everything all to pieces. Get out on the highway and hitchhike to the parts store, buy what I needed, hitchhike back, put it together, drive down the road another 100 miles. God. Why? God promised He'd be with me. God promised He'd provide. God promised He'd take care of it. We was alongside the road one time in a bar or whatever it was and broke down a Volkswagen of all things. You imagine me in a Volkswagen. If I had a Volkswagen, a van, one of them hippie vans, orange, white hippie vans, broke down alongside the road in the pouring down rain. Would you believe it? On a Saturday night, heading back to West Virginia. And some guy stopped. He said, "What's wrong with this thing?" I said, "I don't know. Stinking foreign junk." He said, "Well, I can't help you, but here." And he handed me $100. Wow. Don't know the guy from Adam's Tomcat. Some other guy stopped. He said, "You got a problem?" I said, "Yes, sir, this junk pile won't run." He said, "I happen to be a mechanic. Let me look at it." God. He said, "Come on, I know exactly where to get the part. We'll get it. I'll put it together and fix it for you." We got home that night. Time for church the next morning. God. "I'll never leave you, forsake you, boy. I'll put you through some things, but I won't leave you. I'll be right there. You'll go through it. You'll cry. You'll worry. You'll fret. You'll scream. You'll pull your hair out. You'll kick the tires, break the windows. But I'll be right there. And when you're all done throwing your little tantrum, I'm going to fix what you fix, try to grow you a little bit, and teach you something." 4-hour learning. "Abram, yes, sir, get out of where you're at." "Where am I supposed to go?" "Never mind that, just get." "Lord, I'm afraid she's a pretty woman, and that old crazy Pharaoh over there is going to snatch up my girl." "Don't you worry about your girl, I'll handle her." "Don't you worry about that Pharaoh, I'll handle him." Look at your Bible. Verse 17, "The Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife." Notice it was not because of Abram. Did you notice that? It wasn't because of Abram. God Almighty says, "Sarai, you know you're in the wrong house, don't you?" She said, "I sure do, God, but I wish something happened." He said, I got it fixed. "Pharaoh, don't you even think about it." He did the same thing a little while later with a guy named Abimelech. Abimelech went to God and said, "God, listen, I didn't touch her. God said, "I know, I wouldn't let you touch her." Stay with me now. You know the most protective place you could ever be in your whole day is in the presence of God Almighty? Do you know the best place in the world to be is with the one who promises and never lies? Do you know the very best place you could ever be is in the obedience of God Almighty, whether you're afraid or not? Just stay with God, walk with God, live with God, and learn how to do it. It's going to be different every day. We're in a strange and crazy culture, are we not, even now? I told the folks down in Virginia the other day, I said, "Where are you going now, Brother Don?" "Back to New York." I said, "Yep." They said, "Boy, you spent a lot of time in New York." I said, "Yes, sir." And the guy said, "That's a foreign country up there. You know that? That's a foreign country." I said, "Not in the churches I go to. You ought to come up with me." I brought them up. They didn't believe me, brother. They didn't believe me. I brought some Southern men up. Southern, not Virginians. I'm talking about Alabama boys and Mississippi boys. I brought them up to New York. They couldn't believe how much you New Yorkers love God. They couldn't believe it. They thought, "No way in the world, old stuff, sure, New Yorkers, they don't know God." Boy, they went to them meetings with me and had a big time together. Listen, y'all took them on for support. Didn't even look at them. Sure, that's some of my bestest friends back there on your wall. I said, listen, I said, come on up to New York. And I said, I'll introduce you to them. And I said, them folks love missions. Them folks love people. They'll take care. They'll do it. Nah, Brother Don. I said, Brother Don. Me, just do as I tell you. They never got over here. But you loved ones took them on. You proved my point. I tried to tell them people down there. I said, y'all crazy. Y'all come up here. They love old Albert Creel. Albert Creel was absolutely down home, backwoods, Mississippi. I mean, listen, he would catch every other verse of your songs when he was singing. All right? Not every other word. Every other verse. Okay? That's how slow Brother Creel was. You think I'm slow? I'm in high gear compared to Brother Creel. He had five vowels in every word. I mean, he was slow. I carried him into New York. They loved it. They just flat loved. I don't know whether it was mocking, but he really did love it. But they loved him. What are you saying? I'm saying my family, our God is able. Abram, yes, sir. I'm going to protect you. And so God plagued old Pharaoh, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou she is my sister? I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt. Did he do everything exactly right? No. Did he make every decision exactly true and good? No. He messed up bad when it came to Ishmael. That's a mess up. But I want you to realize something, my dear family. He learned something. And that's what I want to get you to understand tonight. As I look at this simple little message tonight, I ain't got a whole lot of nothing to it, but there's a simple little message here. About a man named Abram who isn't changed yet. Even in 13, he's still Abram. Abram gets richer by the day. He goes yonder there. He's building altars. He's worshiping God. He's obeying God. He's praising God. He's trying to teach his congregation. He had a big congregation. He had 318 servants at one time. Y'all know the story a lot and all that mess. But I'm just trying to get you to understand something. He learned something, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to learn something from the Scriptures. Go with me to Romans 15 again. We're going to bounce off of Romans 15, then we're going to move up to the next set of Bible verses, and we're going to send you home for the night. Listen to what God's Bible says. Whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. 15:4 of Romans said that we might have hope. So, Brother Don, boy, I hope you can help me. I've had many pastors say that. Brother Don, if you don't do something this week, I'm quitting. I'm out of here. I'm finished. And I look them right dead in the eye because I love them to death. I love pastors. I say, listen to me. You're not putting that hickey on me. If you ain't done nothing with this crowd in 51 weeks, don't you expect me to do something in one. If you ain't spent 51 weeks training them how to live for God, don't you expect me to do it in 1 week. I said, just leave it be and let me and the Holy Ghost take care of what I need to take care of up here. And I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. I promise you that. Brother Don, if you don't do something here, he said, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, well, how about doing right? That'd be good. Quit putting this as a job. Quit putting this as some obligation you've got. Put it back in the ministry. That made a couple of them mad. You can't rebuke certain men. Because they're absolutely right even when they're absolutely wrong. You can't talk to them about nothing. And the dumbheads continually ask you, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What should I do? What do you think I ought to do? And then you tell them, and then you're an enemy forever. For our hope, that we might have hope. Where are we going to get our hope from? Scripture. Tonight it's Abram. Abram, give me some hope. Well, I was over yonder there, and God came and told me to get out, and I got out, and I went, and got over there towards Egypt, and got scared, and in there, God, in my fear, God protected me in Sarai, and it was okay, and I got out of there rich, and I've done pretty good over there, and I've had quite a life. But I want you to realize something, son. The hope was not in me. The hope was in God. The hope was in the Scripture. Now listen to me real close, gang. Abram had no Scripture. Come on, no church. No pastor. He had God. Anybody in here got God? And Scripture? And pastor? And brothers and sisters? Are we a little better off than he was? And he made it. Come on, he ended all right. Why can't we? Stay with me, I'm going to get to it. Look with me, please, if you will. Hebrews. I ain't going to preach nothing new to you this week. I'm just going to remind you. Paul put Timothy in remembrance. I want you to understand something. Verse 17 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith when he was tried, offered up Isaac. This is a sacrifice over yonder there at the end of his life, near about the end of his life. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God said, Abram, yes, sir. Abraham, In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abram, I'm going to make you a seed. I'm going to make nation out of you. I mean, everybody's going to think about you. I want you to understand, you're going to be all right. And Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, what I want you to do now is I want you to take him up on the hill and sacrifice him. I want you to give him to me. I want you to give it all to me. Lock, stock, and barrel. I want everything you got, Abraham. I want everything you got, that boy. He didn't question God, bang around on God. He didn't do like that guy did in the movie, beat on a rock and ask God why. You got to watch them Christian movies sometimes. I watched Burt Lancaster as Moses walking across water ankle deep. Got him out, he said it was dry land. You got to watch them movies. Hollywood's a little strange. Abram believed that God Almighty was going to raise up seed out of Isaac. So it didn't matter what God told him to do to Isaac. God Almighty was going to take care of it all, and Abram's just going to obey him. And that's what he did. You know the story. Go with me, please, if you will, to Galatians. All you men of God know where I'm going. Go to Galatians. Listen to the Word of God. Again, the comfort of the Scriptures, the promises of the Bible, the things that God Almighty does with the Word of God. What a wonderful thing this Bible really is to you and I. I wish we'd learn it. I wish we'd learn it. I wish I learned it better. I wish I knew more of it. I want you to realize something, my dear family. You and I have a privilege that very few people have. In God's Bible says in the 18th verse of chapter 3, he said, if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Promise. The faith in the promise. I tell people all the time that are struggling, Brother Fenton, I tell people all the time, they say, Brother Don, I don't know what to do. I've prayed, I've sought God, and it just don't seem like God's listened to me. And my faith is getting weaker, and I don't know what to do. I said, you got your faith in the wrong place. And they look at me like I'm nuts. Your faith has to go into the will of God. What is the will of God? What is God doing? Why is God doing this? What am I supposed to learn in this? It is not the will of God that everybody stays perfectly, absolutely well the whole life. There are times when he'll allow a little sickness to come by. Come on now. You say, preacher, I have faith in God, but he ain't answered my prayer. He ain't healed me yet. Yet. He will. Hang on. One way or t'other. You're going home to be with God or going home to be with mama. You'll be all right. It's be okay. You got it. You'll be all right. God has promised us eternal life. Are you listening to me? That eternal life is right here. Are you listening to me, gang? I'm trying to get you to understand something. We are going to be okay at the while when it's time. Are you listening to me? We can't worry about what God's doing today. We've got to look at the long range thing. Lord, what is thy will? What's your plan over there? And what am I a part of? What am I doing, God? He says, I want you to serve me while you're here. While you're there, you might as well talk about me. So I talked to all the nurses I could, all the doctors I could while I was there. Did I enjoy having cancer again? No. Did I enjoy the operation? No. Did I enjoy the recovery? No. Did I enjoy the negative reaction to the chemo? No way. Did I enjoy being sick for 12 days? No. Did I enjoy almost dying? No. But it was the will of God, and God knew what He was doing. He was not harming me, not abusing me, not hurting me. God promised me eternal life in 1977. I'm not going to die. I'm simply going to lay this old body down one day, pick up that new body, and go home to be with my God forever to be with the Lord. Gang, you got to believe God if you're going to make it in this life. Amen. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's what we learn in Abram's life. He believed God. We'll get to that after a while, James. He believed God. Did he have his day? Sure. Did he have his moments? Sure. Just like you and I do. But in the end, and when it was all said and done, at the end of the day, he looked over at Sarai in her tent. He said, I believe God, woman. And when you and I quit believing God, we get ourselves in such trouble. Our faith drops. Our faithfulness drops. God Almighty tells us in His Bible these promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus to the glory of God the Father. He tells us in this Bible, this comforting, patiently teaching me Bible, this Bible knows about how hard my head is. Somebody down at the home church, they said, Brother Don, how you learn all that stuff? I said, I've been 44 years trying to learn it. I'm not like some of you. Some of you in here, and I don't know who you are, I'm just giving you a compliment, please take it. Some of you in here could look at something in 1 minute, you've got it. Brother Doug's doing this. I've got to look at something and look at something and look at something, and look at something. I got to have repetition. I can't get it first, second, third, fourth time. I can't get it. It just don't sink into this brain. I got one brain cell I got. I got to do it over and 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 over again. And I go back to my God. I said, Lord, I don't quite understand that. He said, read it again. I don't quite get it. Read it again. Lord, I don't see the principle that's holding up the verse. He said, look underneath the verse a little deeper. And I'll get down underneath of the verse and I'll look up at the bottom of the verse and I'll see the foundation of the verse. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures. But I read Scriptures. I listen to Alexander Scurby every day, a whole CD every day. 66 CDs in a pack. I listen to one a day, Lord, every day. 75 to 80 days, I read the entire Bible and listen to him read it to me, Lord. I look at it while he's reading it to me. Lord, what are you saying? I'm saying the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. How many times have you read the Bible? I don't know, Lord. Read it again. We'll be reading along. Old Scurvy will be reading to us. And Mom will say, didn't we just hear that? I said, yeah, in 2 Kings. This is Chronicles now. How'd you get there? 30 years of listening to Kings and Chronicles. Over and over and over and over and over. I don't know about you, but I got an addiction to this book. This is worse than the booze I used to drink. I had to have that booze. I couldn't function without it. And I can't function without this. And God Almighty said, this is for your learning, son. I want you to get some knowledge. And what I want you to do when you're getting that knowledge is I want you to do it by instruction, or I want you to do it by reading, I want you to do it by study, or I want you to do it by experience of observation. I want you to watch everybody around you. I want you to learn what's right and what's wrong. I want you to learn who's in and who's out. God, how am I supposed to know who's in and who's out? He said, look at 1 John, 5 little bitty chapters. Read 1 John, understand 1 John, learn 1 John, and then look out across that crowd as they pay attention or don't pay attention, as they text or whatever they do while you're preaching, and you can tell by the end of 1 John chapter 2 who's really there and who ain't. by the end of 1 John chapter 2. I don't even have to have the other two or three chapters. 1 John, by the end of 1 John chapter 2, I can just start praying for those who are ignoring the Word of God. See, my dear family, there are times when the comfort of the Scriptures is not too comforting. When you look at your families across the table, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that they do not have the Christ that you've got, that they've got the handmade Christ. You'll get that in a minute. That's what man has done in our day. He has handmade a Christ for himself. Just the right words, just the right dress codes, just the right thoughts, just the right actions. This Jesus fits me good. And it wasn't Jesus that fit. They just made him fit. But the fit of that Bible, the Christ of that Bible, he also gives us patience. Go to James, we're done. He also gives us patience. And in the patience of Jesus Christ, we can look at each other with compassion. We can look at each other and say there are different maturity levels of God's children. We cannot expect a 2-year-old in the Lord to do what a 15-year-old in the Lord does. And we can look at a 15-year-old and not understand what he could probably do what a 30 or 40. I think Purchase said you've been saved 50 years. Anybody else been saved 50 years in here? He wins the prize then. Y'all owe him $50. That's the prize. Amen. 50 years have been saved by the grace of God. He knows a way lot more now than he did then. You know where he learned it? By the comfort and patience of the Scriptures. By observing other people. By watching other preachers. See, nobody can pastor a church. This is no slam on your good man of God. I'm just telling you point blank. Nobody can pastor a church. Nobody can be an evangelist. Nobody can play instruments, sing songs. Nobody can do what they do, work a job, whatever it might very well be. Machinist, truck driver, ditch digger, whatever it might be. Nobody can do that without God Almighty. And the Scriptures teach us what happens when you obey God. What happens when God's promises become real in your life. Verse 23 of chapter 2 of James. I'm done. The Scriptures was fulfilled which saith Abraham believed God. That is the problem of our day in a lot of people's hearts and minds. They have ceased to believe God. And God cannot lie. God will not lie. He's too much God to lie. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. You preacher, I want to be righteous. Then believe God. Get in your Bible, get in the Scriptures, find out what it is you're supposed to do. You know what the Bible says about eating? If you don't work, you don't eat. Where'd you get that? Out of the book. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, this handout mess ain't of God. And what's wild is this. Have you noticed every place you look, now hiring, now hiring, now hiring? Huh? Starting out at $18 an hour? Shoo, I ain't never seen that kind of money. You say, preacher, what's going on? Don't tell me they can't get a job. You get a job anywhere now. Whatever you want to do, you can get a job at it now. We'll work for food in my foot. Give me that junk. Ain't happening. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying out of the book we get the answers to life's questions. Out of the book. Abraham didn't even have a book. See, I'm done. Abraham didn't even have a book. Or a church. Or a pastor. Name the spiritual guidance of Abraham. Only. Imagine that now, love. Imagine that. Imagine life with nobody to listen to that's right except God. Would we be more careful to listen? No pastor to guide us. No brothers and sisters to love us and show us what's right or what's wrong. Just God. And what if God was busy that day, going somewhere else, doing something else, didn't have time for us that day? Do you understand how blessed you are? You got a book in your lap. Comfort, patience, instruction, scriptures, and every word of it true, man, are we blessed. What do we learn? Abraham believed God. That's the lesson of the night. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Mama, come. What are you trying to tell me, Brother Don? I'm just trying to get you to understand something. There are times in your life you don't believe God. You question God. You wonder.